I like to label my message this morning, as you have seen, have you gotten the little bulletin when you walked in, the need for preachers. The need for preachers. So in our culture, when we think about preaching, I feel like a lot of people understand that concept. A lot of people understand that idea of preaching. Whether people are believers in Jesus, followers of Jesus, or whether they're not. People understand, have some concept of preaching. If I was to ask you, what do you think of preaching? I'm sure you may even have your understanding of what that may be. For some of us, maybe it's somebody in the pulpit dressed really nice, maybe with a towel because maybe they might be sweating, right? Some people have that understanding of preaching. Or maybe it's not that. Maybe it's you're just, you know, not standing behind a pulpit, but maybe it's like a little table of some sort, right? Maybe like a round table with water, maybe coffee, or whatever the case may be, and they're just maybe talking to you, so to speak. We all have some understanding of preaching. It's common in our TV shows. It's common in our movies that we even watch, and it's even common in some of the music that we listen to. It's common amongst popular people. Earlier this week, I was on YouTube watching an interview by the great theologian, Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg is indeed a great theologian. And it was interesting because in his interview, he was talking about his gospel album that he won an award for. And as he's being interviewed and as he's talking, he says something very, very interesting that I was like, this is really interesting. He says, and this is a quote, that because the preacher preaches on Sunday, but I preach 7 days a week. So this is what Snoop Dogg says. He says he works harder than a lot of pastors and a lot of preachers because he actually preaches more. Preachers just preach on Sunday, but I preach 7 days a week. He goes into and he talks a little bit about his background and how he grew up and all that type of stuff like that. But it's interesting because somebody as famous, somebody as popular, somebody as, I'm going to say crazy as Snoop Dogg. And the reason why I say crazy is because he keeps changing his names multiple times. He was Snoop Dogg, Snoop Doggy Dogg, Snoop Lion. He's on a journey. But it's interesting because he says that he preaches. He would say that he preaches. And I would say that preaching is something that God has implanted in followers of Jesus to do. And I would also say not just pastors, okay? He's also implanted in you, whether you're a pastor, whether you hold that official office or that official role or anything like that. Every member preaches. Amen? Every member preaches to some degree. After looking at many different Bible passages this week, this is how I'm defining preaching, because this is what I believe that the Word of God actually communicates with preaching. It simply is this. To convey a convicting message with clarity and with truthful, thought-provoking content. To convey a convicting message with clarity and with truthful, thought-provoking content. I want to break that down a little bit because there's a lot of words there, but every word matters and every word actually, I'm trying to communicate something. And we're going to look through the scriptures in a second, but I do believe that when we talk about preaching, this is what we're trying to communicate. This is what it is, to convey. Convey has this idea that you actually have to speak. You actually have to open your mouth. You actually have to talk. You actually have to say something to convey. But also, what are you conveying? What are you actually saying? You're not just saying gibberish. You're actually saying something. And I would say that it's a convicting message. I use the word convicting there because convicting has this idea of saying that persuasion. There's some type of persuasion that is happening when you are delivering or conveying a convicting message. There's the idea of passion as well. There's a level of authenticity. There's a level of transparency there. So when I say to convey a convicting message, this message indeed should strike home. It should actually penetrate something. It should also penetrate your hearts. It's a convicting message. But it's also with clarity, and we should communicate in such a way that will hopefully, we want people to understand what we're saying. Amen? We want people to understand and communicate and to grasp the things that we are saying. So we want to do it in such a way that it's clear, that people can understand it and has clarity. But then also, it needs to be truthful. You see that? It has to be true. It has to be facts. It can't just be what you think or what you feel or whatever the case may be. No, it actually has to have some substance to it. And I would argue that that substance comes from the Word of God. Truthful and thought-provoking content. There is content. There is information. There is that aspect to communicating, or if we could just say, to preach. To preach the word. So this is my definition for preaching. Go ahead and write it down. To convey a convicting message with clarity and with truthful, thought-provoking content. In our verses here, we're going to look at this morning, we're going to basically just break this in half, right? We're going to look at the importance of preaching in verses 14 and 15, and then we're going to look at the importance of hearing in verses 16 and 17. The importance of preaching, verses 14 and 15. If you look down at your Bibles there in verse 14, it's interesting. As I said before, I was looking up this idea of preaching all throughout the Bible, and the word preaching is used around about 60 times in the New Testament. It's used a lot. The authors of the Bible is using this word very commonly, very frequently, and interestingly enough, it is used 4 times in the book of Romans alone. And this connects beautifully with the idea of calling on the Lord. I preached about that the week before Easter, the idea of calling on the Lord, right? You remember that? We talked about what it looks like to praise him. We talked about what it looks like to worship him. And we talked about what it looks like to pray to him, to pray to God, to call upon his name. This connects beautifully to it. Now, it's interesting here because when Paul opens up, or I should say continues on from his thought in verse 1 from chapter 10, he starts with 4 rhetorical questions. A rhetorical question is, it's a question that is so obvious, it doesn't need to be answered. That's what a rhetorical question is, right? You say something, you ask a question, and it's so obvious that you don't have to answer it. For instance, if I was to say, are the New York Jets going to win the Super Bowl this year? It's so obvious that answer is no. It doesn't even need to be answered. I know we may have some Jets fans here, but I'm just being honest. Like, you don't even got to answer that because it's so blatantly obvious that they're not. Now, it's going to be interesting that, you know, if it's a miracle, and let's say that the Jets actually do win the Super Bowl, this sermon was not going to age well. But that's what a rhetorical question is. It's a question that is asked, but it's so obvious it doesn't need to be answered. In verses 14, Paul says, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? These rhetorical questions are so obvious, right? Preaching is important because it can lead to some people believing in Jesus. That's why preaching is important. At least that's one of the reasons why preaching is important, right? To convey a convicting message with clarity and with thought-provoking content. Preaching is important because it can lead to people becoming Christians, becoming followers of Christ. It is the method that God has used for centuries to bring people to himself. There always will be preachers, God's messengers to deliver his word so people can place their confidence and trust ultimately in Christ Jesus. Amen? There's always going to be preachers. I believe we need to look in the text and look at the scripture as a whole to see what does preaching actually look like. And I think in the first part here, we can look at Matthew chapter 4:23 is one section where we can see this word preaching, or one example of that. There's many different others, but here's one. And this is interesting because this is Jesus here. And in Jesus' life and in ministry, he has what they call a threefold ministry, a preaching, teaching, and healing. Preaching, teaching, and healing ministry. You see in Matthew chapter 4:23, and he went through all Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. You see that word there, proclaiming? That is the idea of preaching, of saying an utterance, of conveying a convicting message. That's what we see here, and this is an example that Jesus himself is actually doing. But we also see that in Mark chapter 1, verse 7, it simply says, and he preached, saying, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. This passage talks about a guy by the name of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner, who was an individual who came to shed light and to bear witness about Christ Jesus, about the Messiah. And we see, what did he do? He preached. He proclaimed. And obviously in our passage, we see Romans 10:14, right? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? Preaching is integral to what followers of Jesus do. The word preaching, there's words that are connected to it, like proclaim, like to announce something, or simply somebody who's a herald, who's a heralder, right? It's interesting because in the medieval times, heralders were people who would declare important news on behalf of the king to the public. Now, this wasn't an occupation that you can just do on your own. You can train and become this individual. No, you were actually chosen to do it by a king. You were appointed to do it. You were commissioned to do it, if you will. The herald had to declare official decrees and announcements. And what's interesting is the herald had to actually have some attributes to him or her. They had to have a good voice. They had to have good character. They had to be able to know how to read and to write. And most importantly, they had to be obedient to the king. They had to be obedient to the king. And the essential point about the announcement or the report which they would give is that it does not originate within them. Behind it stands a higher power, a higher authority. In essence, the heralder does not express his or her own views. He or she is the spokesman or woman for his master. So you represent the king in a lot of ways. Your words have bearing. You don't have the privilege to say what they wanted to say and what they wanted to feel. No, they had to proclaim. They had to preach. They had to utter. the words that had authority based upon their king. After Paul asked these questions, he shifts to say, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. There's a sentence that actually has to take place. And I want to encourage everyone here that is a follower of Jesus, you have been sent. You have been sent to share good news to people around you. I know sometimes when we think about being sent, we think of like an official sending or official commissioning off. Let's say if there was somebody here that wanted to go to Uganda or somewhere overseas, and we want to commission you and send you off to somewhere to proclaim the message. And that's an aspect of it. We believe in that. But in a general sense, you are sent if you are a follower of Jesus. We're created in God's image and his likeness. And what Jesus did? Well, he came from heaven to earth. He was sent on a mission. He was sent to rescue, to deliver his people. He was sent to come and rescue, right? So if he was sent, then we have a sentness identity as well. We have a sentness, meaning that we are called to go out into our places, wherever we may be, and share the message, to build relationships, to be friends with people, and of course, to be unashamed about the message of the gospel. You are sent. If you don't leave with anything else from this message, I want you to be empowered. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to know and feel that you have been sent by God in such a way that hopefully, by God's grace, you can participate in his grand story of redemption. That is a privilege and honor that we get to participate in the restoration of the entire world. That is not something to just be taken lightly. That's not something to just, oh, well, forget about that. Or, no. As part of who we are, it's a privilege that we get to do. Those that are sent, like us, have the authority of the king. We have the authority of Jesus. So saying bold and truthful things are not merely of our own views, but the views from God, from God's word. That's what we stand on. That's where our authority comes from, because the word of God is authoritative, because God himself is the ultimate authority. And when we get to proclaim and speak what he says, by virtue of that, it is authoritative. Again, preaching. It's to convey a convicting message with clarity and with truthful, thought-provoking content. Paul continues on and he breaks down and quotes from Isaiah 52. And this passage stresses the fulfillment of prophecy in Isaiah. Essentially, as one commentator says, the messengers have been sent out. The good news is being preached. The return from exile is a reality, and thus God's end-time salvation is now available to both Jews and Gentiles. Remember, it's always been through faith, no matter who you are. People come to God, they come into relationship with him, whether you're a Jew, whether you're a Gentile, on the basis of faith. This is Paul's whole argument in the book of Romans. It's always been through faith. Simply put, preaching is essential. Preaching is critical. Preaching is important. But if I had to ask Roosevelt, what does it look like for us to preach? What does it look like for us to proclaim God's word? Well, I think the first aspect of it is to what we do on Sunday mornings. Preaching on Sunday mornings. What I'm doing right now, what we do every single Sunday, that's one expression of preaching. In some ways, that's probably the main expression that you probably think of. As I said before, you may have an image in your mind of somebody from the pulpit preaching to you, right? That is one important expression. But I would also add that it is not the only expression. There are other expressions of preaching. Another expression of preaching is simply this: preaching where you find yourself at. Wherever you may find yourself at, wherever you may be throughout the week, let's say it's in the home, let's say it's in school, let's say it's doing your activities that you tend to do, going to the gym, jiu-jitsu, whatever the case may be, you can preach where you're at. It's not just a merely Sunday morning thing, although this is very important. I don't want to minimize Sunday mornings, but I also don't want to idolize Sunday mornings either. Preaching is essential. Remember what the great theologian Snoop Dogg said. He says he works harder than the preachers because they preach one day a week. He preaches 7 days a week. Are we going to let Snoop outdo us? You can preach where you find yourself at. If you are a parent, you can convey a convicting message to your children at home, and you don't even have to have a pulpit. You can proclaim truth to your son or your daughter. You are preaching. You are proclaiming, as long as you're preaching God's word, right? That's an aspect, that's an expression of preaching that, yes, you have been equipped to do. You can do this. One of our jobs as pastors is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Part of your ministry is how you take care of your households, right? You can do this. You can preach at home. You can also preach at school if you're a student here, right? You can proclaim God's truth at school, on the campus. I remember when I first became a follower of Jesus. Well, actually, before that, I didn't get saved listening to a sermon. Maybe many of you, maybe you did hear, but I didn't. Actually, I didn't get, quote unquote, I didn't get saved in the church. It was actually through a next door neighbor that shared the message of the gospel with me on my front porch. What was he doing? He was preaching. He was proclaiming. He didn't even have a pulpit, and guess what? It wasn't even on Sunday. You can proclaim, and you can preach in your activities where you're at, whatever you do, as you build friendships, as you build a relationship with, if you play basketball, if you go to the gym, jiu-jitsu, as I mentioned, as you do that, there will be times for you to be able to be unashamed and bold and proclaim Jesus. And you don't gotta shy away from it. In our culture, nobody is shying away from how many women they sleep with. They're not. In fact, they're really bold about how many they sleep with, right? Why can't we be just as bold with the word of God? What are we afraid of? What are we scared of? We can preach the message wherever we at. And guess what? There is a need for preachers. There is a need for us to go out and to proclaim God's truth. So I want to encourage you. I think that's what preaching can look like for us on Sunday mornings and also wherever you may be at. Wherever you find yourself at. Amen? Those who call on the Lord in a genuine, heartfelt, and saving way must believe in Jesus, and it's not possible apart from hearing the message. You understand that? People have to actually hear what you're saying. I believe in our context, sometimes we tend to, because we know doctrine, because we know theology, right? We tend to just say, oh, God's going to take care of that. God can predestine, he predestined people before the foundation of the earth, right? So we won't say that we don't need to share the gospel with people. We would never say that. But functionally, we act like that. We act that way because, oh, God chooses, God can do that. No. God does choose, amen, but he also uses means to bring people to himself. And those means are for us to go out and actually talk and actually say something. It's not just this, oh, God will take care of it. No, we need to be infused with a burden for people. A burden for people that, yes, they are on their way to hell to experience the wrath of God. That should encourage us. That should motivate us. That should fuel us to go out and share the message, to preach. But no, we get too comfortable. There's other people with other theology that's different from ours that in some ways, they outshine us. They outdo us. We should be encouraged and motivated to go and share the message because it's the importance of preaching, yes, but it's also the importance of hearing. It's the importance of hearing. Hearing is a life or death matter. I don't know if you guys realize that. Hearing is a life or death matter. There are consequences for not hearing or listening rightly. Growing up, my mom used to always tell me that I had selective hearing. I didn't know what she was talking about for a little bit, but I eventually found out. She said that I like to hear the things that I want to hear. So there's things that I actually like, that I like doing, and I can hear that really, really loud and clear. I can go outside and go play, right? I can hear that, or I can play, you know, the gaming system or whatever the case may be. But when it comes to, like, cleaning your room or something that I really didn't want to do, oh, I couldn't hear you. She would say I had selective hearing. Growing up in a black household, that'll wear off really quickly. Because, you know, after a while, you know, she didn't really play that much. So I started to hear really clearly after a couple of, So, but I feel like we have a tendency to hear what we want to hear. And I think many of you know what I'm talking about. Many of us function in that same way. We hear what we want to hear. In the Bible, true hearing communicates the idea of obeying. Hearing and obeying, to follow instructions, to obey, to be subject to. If you notice in verse 16, not all will believe. Not all will obey the gospel. Paul is saying that the majority of Jews have not submitted to the gospel. Because they may have heard, but they have not submitted to the Lordship of Christ. Hearing is a life or death matter. And there is a premium, there's an importance on hearing Christ. Hearing Christ. Many of you know that I have two dogs in my house. One of they're named Brownie and Lucy. And Brownie's cool. Brownie is dope. I like Brownie. Lucy, not so much. She encourages Brownie to do bad things pretty often. And my wife doesn't like when I say this, but if you guys want any dogs, we can give them to you for free. Like, you can have them. I won't even charge you anything. But Brownie and Lucy, many of you have been in my house, and we've eaten dinner and things of that nature. And a couple different times, people have told me when Brownie and Lucy, they're doing something, I'll say, Brownie and Lucy, go to your cage. And they'll actually obey. They'll actually listen. And many people have said, like, man, your dogs are really obedient. And I think that's important to think about as I think about hearing Christ, because a lot of times when, if somebody else, if you was to come over to my house and talk to my dogs that way, they're not going to listen to you. They're not going to listen to you at all. But because we've been in relationship with them for multiple years, we take care of them, we feed them, we beat them sometimes. They know our voice. They know me and Celeste's voice. So they listen and obey what we have to say. I think this correlates pretty well in John chapter 10, the idea of Jesus being the good shepherd, and we are the sheep. And it says that the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, and the sheep knows the voice of the shepherd. Mm. True shepherds listens and obeys the true shepherd, Jesus Christ. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Faithful preaching leads to some people believing in Christ Jesus. Full stop. That's why preaching is important. Whether it's on the Sunday morning or whether it's on a Wednesday night. And God in his grace gives us the privilege and permission to participate in his story of redemption, in his story of delivering people. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. What is the word of Christ? Well, it's the word of faith that Paul talked about in verse 8 from the context. And what does he say? He talks about the lordship of Jesus. Jesus is Lord. Amen. And the resurrection of Christ. We just celebrated Easter, right? The resurrection, where Paul says it is of first importance, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the cornerstone of the Christian faith, the resurrection of Jesus, that God raised Christ from the dead. A supernatural miracle that we can't explain. But the word of faith here is this, the resurrection of Jesus. My question to you is, do you believe in the word about Christ? Do you obey the word of Christ? Do you truly, genuinely, in your heart of hearts, believe? If so, then we should have no problem sharing the message of the gospel. I think what it is some of us don't believe. Because when you believe, you tell people. If there's a restaurant that you would go to that's really, really good, you're going to tell somebody about that restaurant and how great it was, how good the steak was, how good the chicken was, or whatever the case is. But if you don't, I think we have to examine ourselves and to see, do we really, really believe? Do we truly believe in the resurrection of Christ? It is clear that faith in God arises from hearing and believing an account of that redemption that someone has preached. You get that? It is evident that faith in God arises from hearing and believing an account of that redemption that someone has preached. The gospel message is for us. It's for people to believe. It's for people to understand and know the depth of their sin and how separated from God they really are. But God in his grace has sent Christ, Jesus, to rescue us from the wrath of God, to adopt us into his family, to make us a new creation, to make us new, to restore everything in this world, and even to restore our broken hearts. The message of the gospel shows us that we are in need of a savior. We're in need of somebody to come and take the place that we rightfully deserve on the cross. Jesus didn't have any sin, but he died and was crucified and suffered in our place. God's only begotten Son died for you and for me. He died for anyone that would repent, that would turn from their sin and place their faith and trust in him. So as we come to a close, my encouragement for those that may not be followers of Jesus, maybe this is your first time hearing this, I want to encourage you to believe in the gospel, to believe in Jesus, to trust in Jesus. Believe in the preacher that's preaching that says, believe in him. The way God set this whole thing up, the way he has set up how people will be adopted into his family is to have preachers that will boldly proclaim his word, that will boldly share the message of truth, that will boldly and unashamedly do it to his glory. Remember what Paul says in Romans 1, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power, right? Preachers that will boldly proclaim his word to people that need to hear it. So may the Lord raise up more faithful preachers here at Roosevelt and beyond to accomplish his ultimate mission, which is to save sinners. And know that you are encouraged, you are equipped to go out and share that message, to share the message of hope in this world, in this broken world that we live in. And the church said, amen. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are, Lord. We thank you that you have given us the words to say. The words to preach, even when we feel like we don't know what to say or we may feel like we may mess up, you have extended grace to us so that we can be able to preach your word, Lord, whether it's here on Sunday morning for those who preach on Sundays, or if you're just a single mom, or if you are a teenager, no matter who you may be, Lord, I just pray for that individual to really take root, that they have been sent, they have been commissioned, they've been set apart to represent God on this earth, to represent his character, to advance his kingdom. So, Lord, I pray for anybody here that may be even struggling with their spiritual journey. They may have questions and thoughts, Lord, and I just pray that you can be able to have them ask those questions in relationship with you, knowing that you're a good, good father and there to love, care, and to take care of your children, Lord. So bless us, Lord, as we leave out, as we go out into the week, Lord, as we have been strengthened and emboldened with your message of the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.